Time to close it now. The podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
All right, let's go. This is episode 3 of the Sales Psychology series coming right up. This episode is all about one of the most foundational concepts in emotionally intelligent selling. This is the trust thermometer. We're going to be talking today about how buyers decide who feels safe. Because remember, people don't buy any other time than when they feel safe. That is the emotion that they're looking for when we talk about trust. The reason they're looking for trust is so they feel safe in their decision. So we're unpacking that, and how does this trust thermometer work? It's how do we figure it out? How do we know? How do buyers decide who feels safe? So that's what we are going to be talking about today. So stick around. This is going to be fun. Before we get into that, let's do a quick little what's in your cup. Today, I have some iced coffee. Nothing too crazy or fancy. It's been a little bit since we've talked about beans. I've been on the tea kick for a while. Earlier, I had some berries, Irish tea. Getting my taste back for coffee beans. So if there are some beans that you would recommend or you feel so inclined, shoot me a message. If you want to send me some to try that is unique or different or unusual in your area, I'm happy to try it. We can talk about that. But today I've got just some iced coffee. What is in your cup today? What are you drinking? What are you listening to? What are your jams? What is your, first of all, what are you listening to podcast-wise? Of course, you're listening to this. What else are you listening to? What audiobook are you in right now? What are you doing for personal growth? You have to do personal growth daily. Remember, Zig Ziglar said, personal growth is like taking a shower. You can't do it on Sunday and expect it to last all week. You got to do personal growth every day. So what's in your cup? Is it tea? Is it coffee? You got iced coffee like me? Is it, you got a Coke out there? Is it an energy drink? What are you sipping on? Drop a message in the Facebook group and let me know. So let's make a toast to this episode and we'll dive right in. 3, 2, 1. All right. So before I get into this, I want to talk about something because I'm super into music and a lot of you are into music as well. The date of this recording is July 8th, and one of the most incredible things I've ever seen happen this last weekend, it was the Black Sabbath Ozzy Osbourne's final show. And man, I have been binging those concerts all the last couple days. It's a miracle that I'm actually getting this done and I'm not watching another one from there. But holy cow, talk about an inspiring moment. To get to see all of those artists like truly in a once in a lifetime type of experience and singing and playing their hearts out was so cool. And man, you want to talk about someone I have a whole lot more respect for than I did before that I will keep my eye on as an up and comer is Youngblood. Oh my gosh, that was pretty incredible. So clearly they passed the torch to him. Ozzy passed the torch to Youngblood as the new British young rocker. And he's leaning into rock and roll now as well, but pretty cool stuff. Anyway, it was great to see all the different bands, Pantera and all my faves. Who was your favorite from the show? Let me know. I'm super curious. But let's get into a review real quick before we get to the content today. Let's see. This one is from. All right. And this one is from, it says new listener, Chris Garrison, and then Bigger Vision. So, yes, Bigger Vision, sir. 5 stars. Says, really enjoy the. If I could talk today, really enjoying the podcast as a business owner that is looking to build a strong one call close sales team. So rock and roll, Chris. Man, I love that. Pop me a message if you hear this on an episode and you left me a 5 star. If you read this, let me know and we will do a we can do a coaching call together. I'm happy to do that. That is my incentive to everyone who leaves me a 5-star review. And if you hear it read on an episode, message me and you get a free coaching session. So we can help you work through a friction point, or if you just want to chop it up and talk about music or coffee or whatever it is. I'm fitness, nutrition, we can dive in. We use the time how you want. But you've earned an hour of my time, my friend. And so great. So one call close sales team. That is incredible. I love that. And at the same time, it's really funny that I'm getting comments about the one call close because yes, we absolutely train and teach one call closing. At the same time, we don't abandon the fact that there's a huge portion of society that are not going to close at one call. So there's also, I'm telling you all, 20 to 30% of your revenue, you could increase immediately if you followed up the way you should. So there, while we absolutely push for the one call close, we don't abandon the people that said not right now, because that all that means it's not a no, it's a not right now. So love that. And if you are would like to know more, I did just write the most epic, robust follow-up system on the planet. Especially in home services. And I'm working on getting that packaged up and put together a little bit better. And I'm going to be offering that soon and we'll be doing a virtual training on that. So watch out for it. It's going to be coming pretty soon. One last announcement, real quick, before we get into this content today. I am in process of working on the door-to-door program. Yes, you heard it right. Coming here at Close It Now, we are going to have the most incredible, robust door-to-door program. Everything from entry level to done for you blitz come out and literally generate millions of business for you, millions of dollars in business for you in a short amount of time. And every step in between that is getting built right now. I'm working with a couple partners in this project, and you are going to love it. Look for fall 2025. There's going to be a 2-day event. And after that, that's where we're going to introduce the different programs that will be available if you want to. And know that you have to go to business differently in 2025. We cannot keep functioning the same way, just give the internet machine more dollars and hope that we get leads. That is the way to murder your business as fast as possible. I'm here to tell you the companies that are winning the most in the country right now are the ones that are going to business as if the internet didn't exist and then only supplementing with digital ad spend. So those are the winners right now, and you can see it. They're instantly growing and dominating. And we are putting together a package and plan to help you do exactly that in your marketplace. So be on the lookout. The door-to-door program is coming. It's coming. It's coming. So let's sink into this content. So we'll start with a story. Have you ever walked into a home and you felt the tension the second you said hello? It's like they started to resist you from the minute you walked in. Or you had a buyer who said they said all the right things, but something just felt off. You knew nothing, it wasn't sitting right, it wasn't hitting right. I had a coaching client this morning. This is exactly what we were talking about. They just the entire time they were distracted. They were talking to each other, they're texting in the middle. It's like they weren't locked in, they weren't paying attention. Well, the thing is, that's not just coincidence. That's the temperature. That's the trust temperature. That's the thermostat. And the thing is, you've been reading it your whole career without even knowing it. So what we're going to do is we're going to break this down for you a bit, because this is one of the key elements that nobody's talking about, but everybody needs to know. So this is episode 3 of the Close It Now Sales Psychology series, where we train sales pros to read and respond to real humans, not just objections. This is not just the script. We're going beyond the script in this one. So in this episode, we're going to unpack the trust thermometer. This is a tool. So giving you another tool for your tool belt, a tool to help you assess your buyer's emotional state within the first few minutes, and then we can adjust our approach. We can adjust it accordingly, because buyers don't say yes when they understand. They say yes when they feel safe. And this is important to remember. It doesn't matter if they understand. They're not going to say yes to a buying decision with you until they feel safe. They feel safe enough that they can trust comes first, but out of trust, the emotion that we're looking for is they feel emotionally safe to trust you in this buying decision. So that is where we're at. So the first step is, what is the trust thermometer? So we're going to break that down first. So with this, the main thing is, we can't close anybody who doesn't trust us. They're not going to buy from us if they don't trust us. And you can't build trust if you don't know where the buyer is emotionally. We have to know where they are emotionally to be able to go to work on that, to build that trust. So the trust thermometer is a real-time awareness tool that helps you gauge your buyer's openness and emotional readiness to receive what you're offering. So there's three levels, and you may have heard this in as far as a lot of people like to say leads, marketed leads or cold leads. So you've got cold leads, you've got warm leads, and you've got hot leads. Traditionally, the way this was explained is, a cold lead is somebody that you've never met before. Just meeting them for the first time. They have not used the company. They've not used you. It's the first time. They're fresh. That is a cold lead. All right. So the cold, warm, and hot. Warm is, of course, maybe it's somebody that you already know. Maybe it's somebody that's used the company, but they haven't necessarily raised their hand and said, "Hey, I need this," or "I need this service," or "I need this product," or I need you to do this work." So that's a warm lead. It's familiarity of awareness. They know who you are. It's not completely new. And then a hot lead, that's the ones that traditionally we've always said, "Oh man, they're," for example, in HVAC, that's the system that's down. Their house is hot, or their house is freezing cold. They need something now. That's a hot lead. They are in the their buying cycle to buy immediately. Now, the problem is, we base and we build our entire organization, our companies, around only focusing on the hot leads and a little bit of the warm leads. And then as the company grows, we pull in a little bit of the cold leads, but we hate it. It's like this constant struggle of, "Oh, we know that marketed leads are necessary, but they're also cold leads. So we've got to work so hard to close them." This conversation is this downward spiral, because we've lost the true vision of what it means to truly be a brand in the marketplace. What it truly means when you're an individual, to be able to create a portfolio, a pipeline of people that you have met, know, like, and trust, and you cultivate to the place, even if they were cold when you first met them. How do we warm them up? How do we warm them up quicker? How do we get them to the place of buying in the shortest amount of time possible, while understanding that everyone has a different length of a buying cycle? And there is only so much we can do to manipulate or influence the length of their buying cycle. So I'm absolutely not here to, and I love, that's why I started with this review today, because I'm not here to tell you that we can force a one-sit close every single time. That's absolutely not the case. And if we do that, those are companies that are either selling too much on discounting, or we're making sales, but we're also getting a lot of cancels, which is worse. That's awful. So we're not going to force the one-sit close. We're going to allow it to happen and to show up organically and naturally. And yes, when you do all of the steps correctly and when you do all the steps right, you get a really high closing rate in one sit. It happens. One of my favorite stories from my own numbers, I went 20 in a row one summer. 20 in a row, sit, close, sit, close, sit, close, one June. It was nuts. It was incredible. I loved it. But that doesn't always happen. So we have to understand what is the buying cycle and how do we measure it? How do we sense that, what that level is when we get in there? So let's break these three levels down differently for the context of this conversation, because it's more than just that. When we really start to look at what a cold, warm, or hot level is in the trust thermometer. This is not just a general umbrella labeling of cold, warm, hot. This is the trust thermometer. This is the awareness tool. This is the buyer's openness and emotional readiness to receive what we are offering, what we're communicating. So here's the three levels under this new definition. Cold is they're guarded. So here's are some indicators to just describe them, and then we're going to get a little more deeper into how to spot them. So they're guarded. Cold is guarded. They're skeptical. They're emotionally closed off. Warm is they're a little more open. They're curious. They're emotionally neutral, or possibly exploring, dipping the toe. A warm is somebody that says, "Oh, well, we wanted to see check it out for the future." That's a warm. They're not just completely closed. We wanted to see just so we'll be ready. Hot, of course, is engaged, trusting, emotionally invested in a solution. So those are pretty obvious as what the three levels are. The thing to remember, though, is buyers move up and down the scale constantly. And it's not a slow move. They move up and down the scale, not just across weeks, months, days. They move up and down the scale in real time, in a moment, while you're in your appointment, even. They can move from hot to warm to cold, back to warm, back to hot, and all the way back and forth, depending on a lot of variables, depending on what's going on in their life, depending on how you run your appointment, depending on how you show up and how you lead that appointment and that presentation. You can absolutely take somebody from hot to cold or from cold all the way to hot in a matter of moments if you do it properly or improperly. So, how do we spot where they are? So, the first is let's start with cold buyers. Cold buyers, resistance. This is how we know. This is the easy one. Short answer, especially when you're getting into discovery, short answers, little eye contact, very little eye contact, crossed arms. Really guarded body language. They're overly logical or very flat in their answers, very flat in the way that they respond to you. There's no emotional tonality changes. They have a distrust of your intent. A cold buyer, I know of a lot of you, you've had those homeowners that they just don't trust what you're saying. Like, yeah, but how do I know? Well, yeah, but you can tell us anything. Yeah, but you're the sales. All the yeah buts. All the yeah but. Right? That's a cold buyer. It's pretty easy to recognize. Now, before we go on, there's something that I want to discuss here. Because in the coaching session earlier that I was talking to my guy Chris about, and he is total rock star. He is killing it lately. He is putting up some insane numbers. Didn't have hardly any sales for a few weeks before I showed up to their place. And then in the last month, he has been putting up rock star numbers. So that's what happens. If you jump on my Facebook page, you'll see a snapshot of some of his text messages to me. Oh, got another 24,000. Oh, got another 27,000. So he's doing it all the time now. But what we were talking about this morning is he had this client, and so stories from the field here. Because I've had this client hundreds of times, and if you've done this very long, you have too. And if you have not done sales enough to have the client that I'm about to describe, you just haven't seen enough people yet, because you will. So this client is was very, very closed off, and he's getting into the process, and he's going through and he's asking his questions, and they were just distracted. Every answer was short. All just there was no it was just super flat. And he was telling me, it's like I had this the thought crossed my mind. He's like, why am I even here? And so the first thing that I want to tell you, everybody, there are different scenarios. There are different things that could be happening behind the scenes that if you don't call it out, they're not going to tell you. Because it turns out, in this situation, they tell him at the beginning, well, this system is just old, like 25-year-old heating and air system. I mean, super old. Somebody has an old, whatever it is, if it's a heating and air system or if it's a garage door opener or water heater or whatever it is that you do in the field, when one is super old and they know it, and they still, and you're there to maybe quote a new one, but they're not engaged. They act like that doesn't really matter to them. Something is going on. These are major red flags. You've got to clue in on this. Pay attention. Don't just force your process, because if you're not able to, so the goal is to get them past even a brand spanking new client. If you do your introduction right, set your agenda right, and you get into your discovery and asking questions, if they haven't become warm by the time you get that far into your appointment, pump the brakes and call it out. Say, literally just shut, close your book, give them the big breath, give them the, and ask this question. What's really going on here? Ask them, what is really going on here? Find out, call out the elephant in the room. It could be maybe they're distracted because something happened in their life, something bad happened. I mean, this is so for, I mean, this is really real what's going on here in Texas right now. For all of you listening in Texas, there is a high probability if you're anywhere near Central Texas that people may be distracted in the heaviness of what just happened this past 4th of July weekend with the flooding, and over 100 deaths now are verified in the flooding. Somebody may have a relative or a close friend that maybe lost a child, or maybe something happened in the flooding. So this is it's not always something nefarious. It's not always some, an intentional thing that they're doing to, undermine your process. They could legitimately be distracted. Maybe their dog died that morning. I've told a story in the past where I showed up and I got no engagement from this family because their freaking grandpa had just died in the funeral was right after my appointment. I should have recognized it and pumped the brakes and said, "Hang on. Let's reschedule this. There's no reason to be going over this right now while you guys are getting ready to go to a funeral." So there are reasons why this can happen. Now, let's talk about this differently, though. In this appointment particularly, they told him at the beginning, we don't want to look at repairing. We don't really truly know what's going on. We don't even want to look at repairing it because it's a very old equipment. We know it. We just want to get quotes for a new one. Okay. So he moves through the process like normal. And then at the end, they say, well, we're getting quotes, but we have a family friend who we're going to have come out and take a look and see if it's an easy fix. Okay, that's a totally different situation, right? So that's where the mystery can happen. It could be maybe that family friend has a small company, but he doesn't know any engineering. So many times they'll have us out to do this incredible engineering and design and oh, you need ductwork and you need this, and here's this test we did, and here's all of this. And we give it to them, and they're like, okay, thanks, we'll call you. And then they take that and they give it to their family friend or somebody they know that does this on the side that doesn't know how to design a dang thing, but maybe they were a helper on a crew and they know how to put it in and follow somebody else's plan. That happens all the time. Or maybe they're secret shopping you. If you don't think that another company has had you come out to a house to give a proposal, send, take them through the whole process, because they want to know what you're, and they videotape, they will record it. Absolutely. I can tell you this happens because it's happened to me. They will have a video camera set up in the house to record you, record your process without your knowledge, and then get all of your numbers. And that client, they're going to have you go through, just give me numbers on everything. I don't know what I want. So they can secret shop you. This is another company. This happens also. Just know, also be aware, the FBI and the Federal Trade Commission is looking into our industry right now. There are some bad apples that are ruining this industry and taking advantage of homeowners and taking advantage of contractors and stealing their companies and wiping them out, making them write over this, sign up for these crazy PE groups and give up half of the ownership of your company and all your voting rights and transfer your money into their bank accounts and all this stuff that should never happen. That's a scam. If anybody's talking to you about doing that, just know that that is a scam. It's not how business should work. And but then what happens is these companies are getting horrible reviews and they're closing down or losing money and they're going into the negative. So then what happens? Then what happens? So right now the FBI and the FTC are looking into our industry. So just know, beware. But what, so that could be, there's a lot of news crews that, all over the country that are doing sting operations. And what used to just be on technicians, they're going to, I'm predicting this. I have not seen it happen yet, but I predict it will, that they're going to start doing it with salespeople to see if they can recognize some, if they're lying, cheating, and stealing to homeowners, forcing them to sign things that they shouldn't be signing. So that's why here you have to have integrity. We don't lie, cheat, or steal. Stay in integrity. Everything is legally, morally, ethically sound. If listen to me, salespeople and technicians, if you're at a company that's asking you to do something that you don't ethically, morally agree with, run, find another place. Do not lie, cheat, or steal to people, especially if it icks you out. So I'll get off my soapbox. Back to this content. So there's the point is there's a thousand different reasons why buyers might be cold. The thing is, if they're not warming up, don't move on. You're not, that's pointless to move past the first phases of your appointment if they're not warming up into a warm or hot buyer. If they stay cold and no matter what's going on, they stay completely resistant, call it out. Say, listen, I can only help you if you help me. I need to get some questions answered so we know what to design for you. You wouldn't go to the doctor with something wrong with your ankle and he starts looking at your shoulder. You would think he's a quack. You would think he doesn't know what he's doing. But if he didn't ask questions to find out, why are you here today? What are you experiencing? It's the same thing here. So I'm here to help, but if you don't open up and share some of this information with me, I can't help you, and we might as well just shake hands and part ways as friends. So that's a conversation you have to be able to have with the homeowner if they are not opening up. So that's a cold buyer. We've beat that horse, that dead horse is now beaten. Now let's move into warm buyers. How do we recognize them? Neutral curiosity. So they're not extra curious, but they're not cold or resistant either. A warm buyer will start asking low stakes questions. Questions that aren't necessarily major questions like, hey, let's talk about financing or when can you do this? But low stakes questions are, maybe asking about light details of the project, that type of thing. They start nodding, they start leaning slightly in. They have this tell me more energy. It might not be through what they say, but it's what they're, you can feel they're starting to dig what you're saying, and it's starting to almost pull it out of you. They're not committed yet, but they're open. Now, here's a ninja trick. We can move them from cold to hot very quickly, or at least cold to warm, because I will go all the way through a presentation with a warm buyer. If they're the slightest degree open and warm, we're going to rock that sucker out. because we're going to show them how exceptional we are. If we're not able to get them warm from a cold buyer, that's where you pump the brakes and you stop. So you've got to be able to recognize that. So with the warm buyer, that's where they're starting to get open. So the ninja trick here is, that's why if you've heard me talk about the difference in interested versus open, this is why we use the word open as often as we do, because no one can stay a cold buyer if they're open to more information. So the way that we ask our questions changes everything. Change your language, change your results. So let's move into the hot buyer, because the goal is, of course, by the time we are not done, by the time we're partway through our presentation, through our appointment, we have turned that homeowner from a cold or a warm all the way to a hot. And if they were already hot, we're only adding fuel to the fire. So emotional engagement, they start asking ownership-based questions, like when could this be installed? How fast can you get started? Those types of things. Smiling, they start picturing the outcome. They start visualizing what the future is going to look like. They'll turn to each other or tell you, oh, so this would solve such and such problem, or oh man, so I wouldn't have to experience XYZ again, right? And you're like, yes. Yeah. So when they start future pacing and they start visualizing what the future is going to look like, that's how you know you've hit the hot buyer level. Now, it does not mean their level. All of this, I want you to be very clear, it does not mean their level of excitement. That is something totally different. And we have to learn to distinguish the two, because if you're like me, my level of engagement, emotional engagement, when I'm a hot buyer, my excitement is tied to it. And I have to work hard to separate it. But for a lot of people, it's not that way. So do not judge this cold, warm, hot by their level of excitement. It's different than that. So they're smiling, they're picturing the outcome, they start asking the what is the next step, showing signs of urgency, their buying language, they start very much future pacing. Some of the cues to listen for cold are, I'm just looking, we're not ready yet. With warm, how does it work? What does that include? Those are those the tell me more energy. Those are the low stakes questions I was talking about. How does it work? What does this include? Hot questions are, or verbiage cues, how soon could we start? What's the process from here? So that is a hot buyer type of verbiage. So let's talk a little bit more about how to warm a buyer up. Because buyers don't start hot. No one does. This is that spectrum. They become hot when they feel emotionally safe. I'm going to say that again and slow it down for a second. Buyers don't start hot. They become hot when they feel emotionally safe. So here are some tools that increase the emotional temperature. Soft starts, permission-based questions. This is exactly why the Close It Now process is built on permission-based language. Now, calm, congruent vocal tone, your voice tone. This is why it's so important to record yourself so you can hear what you sound like. Eye contact, match pacing, all of the tempo, the rhythm, we start to match all of this, mirroring language. It's not enough to just mirror the pace or the rhythm. If somebody speaks fast, you speak fast. If they speak slow, you speak slow. That's not enough. Also, we have to understand and recognize their level of language. And by level of language, I mean, are they speaking at a third grade level, which is where we want to be most of the time for the most general population. However, if you're having a conversation with someone and the actual word choice and their language elevates to a more academic or engineering or whatever the level of their language goes to, if they start using bigger words, you better have a large enough vocabulary to be able to articulate a verbose language pattern to rise to the level to match. This is why leaders are readers. It's so important to constantly be learning and fill your mind with more tools. And when you are in sales, your tool bag is no longer the needle nose and the 6-in-1 and the, you know, your pipe wrench and all the things, your tool bag is now your vocabulary. Your tool bag is now how many words do you know and how well can you articulate them? How well can you tell a story? How well can you get your message across succinctly in a way that's understood? Those are your new tools. And the more robust you build out your verbal tool bag of your vocabulary and your skills inside that verbal tool bag, the higher the level of client you will be able to that will buy from you. I was going to say sell to, but we know that's wrong. They buy from us. We lead them to the solution. So, and we also have to be able to listen without correction or steamrolling. Now, I know there are some training out there that is all about steamrolling that homeowner, steamroll that client, force them into the decision. Because earlier you said, if I'm going to pick on question 12 for a minute, question 12 drives me absolutely batty. If there's it at the end, if there's any reason, if it all makes sense, money aside, is there any reason you can't give me a yes or no answer today? That's steamrolling. But earlier you said you could give me an answer. What did I do wrong? Well, that's awful. Stop saying that. Don't do it. There's so many better ways. That's like 20 years ago type of ABC closing, coffees for closers. Okay, back to the mission. I'm on my soapbox again. Listening without correction or steamrolling. We listen, we mirror the language. All of these things, all of these tools will elevate that buyer from they start to feel safe and comfortable. And as they feel safe and emotionally safe, that's when they start to warm up from a cold to a warm to a hot. So here's an example with cold buyer. You know, we just wanted to get some info. The response, here's how you're going to respond to that. Totally get that. Can I walk you through a few basics so it's easier to compare options later, even if it's not with us? Ooh, that's really powerful. Right? It's because so many times, I know all of you hear this. I used to hear this all the damn time. I know you hear this. Hey, we just wanted to get some info. We just want to get some numbers, not buying anything today. Totally get that. Can I walk you through a few basics so it's easier to compare options later, even if it's not with us? They will not expect that response, and it's going to totally disarm them. So here's your pro tip. When in doubt, slow down. A nervous buyer is a cold buyer. A heard buyer is a hot one. If they feel seen, heard, and understood, that will warm them up faster than anything. And one of the ways to do that is slow down. Slow down. So you're listening. Listen to understand, not respond. One of the tenets in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So here's why temperature beats timing. So many times, you know, we think reps often think, you know, they weren't ready to buy today. Oh, they just weren't ready. The truth is, they weren't emotionally warm enough to decide. Buyers buy in a warm, trusting emotional state, not a perfect financial one. They have to be in a warm, trusting emotional state. Plenty of people have all of the money to buy, and they still don't buy. Because if it was only about logic and money, logic and price, they would have already bought. But why didn't they? They were not in a warm, trusting emotional state yet. So that is so important because it has to do with, remember that emotional buy cycle we talked about? Safety, then to belief, then to vision, then to decision. That was the last episode that we talked about. So that's the emotional buy cycle. So here's how we're going to anchor this in. Imagine walking into the home and knowing within 60 seconds where your buyer is emotionally and being able to lead them confidently from skepticism to security. When you're able to do that, you're not just selling, you're regulating the room. That's where you become the thermostat, not the thermometer. So here's the recap. The trust thermometer helps you assess emotional readiness, Cold is guarded, warm is open, hot is ready. Just like Little Caesars commercials, hot and ready. The only way to get there is through making them feel safe, seen and heard. Use body language, questions, and tone to spot where they are. We're not only using that, we're like constantly measuring their body language, questions, and tone so we can spot exactly where they are in this spectrum. And you can, and it's not just a 1, 2, 3, it's a spectrum, it's a true range. So of course we can warm them up. So it is a range, it's a true spectrum. And we can warm them up by all of these things, using regulating, you know, we can warm them up by being calm, being curious, permission-based. We don't rush to close cold buyers. Again, if they're not warming up, we have to just recognize what's going on. We have to help them feel safe before we ever get to asking for the sale. If you start showing signs of trying to close them and they're still cold and they don't feel truly safe yet, it's going to have the opposite effect. You're going to push them away and they will absolutely have to think about it and get you to just, yeah, email us over. And they don't even open the email. When that's the case, you're scaring them away if you're trying to close a cold buyer. So here is your homework. I want you to, in your next 3 appointments, or however many appointments it is between this episode and the next one, I want you to try to identify the buyer's temperature, not what it seems. I don't want you to go by what the notes say. Don't go by, hey, they called and they need this now, or don't go by, oh, it's a tech turnover and this everything's completely broken. Do not go by that, because I can tell you I've run into every single level of this homeowner in a, say they're it's 105 degrees outside and the air conditioner hadn't run for 24 hours and it's hot as Hades in their house, and I've had cold buyers. It does not mean, situation does not mean the buyer's temperature. It is zero correlation there. Sometimes it does, but do not make an assumption that that's what directs it. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with them feeling safe enough with the company and you to make the buying decision. This is why in the last few years, so many people said, I've got all these longtime clients of ours and they still had to shop around. Well, they didn't feel safe with you or they wouldn't have shopped around. It's exactly what's going on. So do not just go by the situation. Start fresh. Enter your appointment as if it's a blank slate and see if you can recognize within the first 5 minutes. Give yourself a 5-minute timeline. It doesn't matter the timeline. See if you can recognize where they're at and then watch. As that starts to change, make a note of it. Be aware. Awareness is key in this, and we can pay attention to where they are in their buying cycle, where they are in their temperature, and then you know how to respond accordingly to continue that process, to continue growing. If they start to get colder again, you know, you said or did something that, or they thought of something based on what you said or did that made them colder again. What changed? Pick it out. Notice it. Talk about it. If they continue to get warmer and warmer, you're on the right track, but you have to be aware and know. And we do not tell the punchline to the joke until they're to the hot part. Nothing comes out. The important stuff doesn't come out. We're not asking for the sell until they're hot. Don't ask for the sell if they're cold or warm. That means you haven't answered enough questions and made them feel safe enough yet. So notice, see if you can notice that. Second is, tag a teammate who needs to hear this. Send this episode to somebody and start rating your appointments as cold, warm, or hot in your own notes. Not what the notes from the company said and from what your CSR said. Your own notes as you take notes about the appointment and about these homeowners. And everybody, if you've gotten some value from this, make sure to leave a review. If this has helped shift how you sell, drop me a review. You can review me on Apple Podcasts. You can review me on Google. Thank you, every single one, because your reviews, 5-star reviews, help drive this podcast forward and helps me pay the bills so I can continue to do this for you guys and help our entire industry level up, because it's my heart and my passion to make some major impact and change, to start the movement and lead this movement within our industries, in all of home services, to raise the standard. So stick around next week. The next episode is, I'm entering into a very touchy subject. Nobody's talking about it, but it has to be discussed. Neuro-aware selling, part one. Why neurodivergence is more common than you think and how to spot it in the field. So this is going to be a big one. We're really going to unpack it. So we got a couple episodes on that in this Psychology of Sales series. So thank you for sticking around. I appreciate every single one of you. I'm grateful for every single one of you. If you want to know more about the Close It Now coaching programs, we have virtual programs for one-on-one, a virtual program for company level. I come out to your location and train your team on site. That comes with virtual support on the back end. And if you want to know more about TradeScale, where we partner with companies and blow your business up in the best of ways, we see 2, 3, 400% growth in 12, 18, 24 months. You can reach out about that as well. And we don't take ownership of your company. We don't take equity. What we do is we work out a program that everyone wins. And you know me, only in integrity. That's the only way I'm going to do anything. And I know that you are the same. So until next time, everybody, thanks for listening. And make sure to go become someone, be someone. Don't just become, be. Choose to be every single day. Be someone worth buying from.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. And at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.